Princess Yusuf.
This is
In Flight Entertainment. Ah, the throwback holiday episodes. Ho, 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 la, la, la.
Yes. Today we are diving into the fun family dynamics that happen during the holidays. Holidays tend to really bring out like the dysfunction in families because you get people together that aren't normally together. You add in some booze and the stress around the holidays and people just aren't on their best behavior all the time. So,
yes. Not a best ever. And this movie highlights that through the eyes of a thief who is caught in the swirl of this destructive, you know, fallout that is a marriage between these two strangers. And this is a 1994 release, and the movie that we're reviewing is called The Ref.
Yeah, so this came out March 11th, 1994. Mm-hmm. The movie does take place during Christmas, even though it was not released around Christmas.
Right, which is weird. Yeah. Yeah, like Jenna said, this is March.
They didn't want to release it during Christmas because they didn't want to highlight that Christmas can be stressful and cause dysfunction.
Yeah, but most people that celebrate Christmas already know that, but... yeah, like Jenna said, this is March 11, 1994. Now, back in 94, I was a sophomore, and you were like a freshman.
I was a freshman in college.
I'm sophomore high school. My first
March 11th. That would have been spring break. So I would have been on South Padre Island March 11th of 1994.
Uh-huh. As a freshman.
As a freshman in college, yeah.
Gotcha.
But it was spring break, you know. You got to go down and party.
Uh-huh.
MTV style.
I know. That's what I said. It like, it was MTV down there and doing spring break. Now, they were usually in like Cancun or something, right?
No, they were on Padre.
Oh, nice. Yeah, and we all, and y'all two-piece clutching your beers?
Oh, we weren't 21. We weren't drinking, please.
I'm sorry. People around you were clutching beers. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Right. Yeah. We probably went to Mexico at least one night to go drink legally in Mexico.
Nice. Yeah, that's how you do it. Like, hey, you're going to get alcohol from somebody.
Right.
If the prohibition didn't teach us anything else, like, people want to drink, they're going to drink. Yeah. Now, in 94, the shows we were watching, going from 5-1, Monday Night Football, Grace Under Fire, number 4, Home Improvement, number 3. Number 2, and of course Seinfeld was holding it down, number 1, and Celine Dion was taking over the charts with Power of Love. Not My Heart Will Go On, because that came out in 97 or 98.
Right, that came out with Titanic.
Exactly. Now Power of Love, I don't remember. Only Power of Love I know was Huey Lewis in the News. I don't know.
Ditto. Did she do a remake or?
No, I think it's just a ballad, and I guess she called it Power of Love. But
well, when you type in Power of Love, Huey Lewis in the News comes up first. You have to go a little deeper for
Celine. That's the only Power of Love I know.
I'll find the video and post it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, because I don't remember her first hit. Because I know My Heart Will Go On wasn't like her first, like, it was like her mega hit, but it wasn't her first hit that brought her into the mainstream. She was kind of known before the Titanic soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Her first hit was Where Does My Heart Beat Now?
Oh.
It was released in 1990.
Okay. In Canada. She's Canadian, right? She,
yes. Yeah. But that was her first United States. It became her first top 10 single in the U.S.
Oh, I know. Yeah, missing. Fun fact,
Celine Dion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now we know. And no one's half the battle. Yeah, so this film stars Dennis Leary as our main character, Gus, Judy Davis, Kevin Spacey, Christine Baranski, and Adam Foray, Raymond J. Berry, and Robert J. Steinmiller Jr.
Yep.
So it was interesting because Jenna put this in our text communique on movies. And I said, yeah, of course, because I haven't seen The Ref in a long time. And I'm overdue to rewatch that. So that's kind of how we work. And when I watch, and now rewatching these older films, I pay more attention to the credits and see who was involved in some of these older films. Because did you know? I'm sure you know, but Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer produced this one?
You know, it's funny because when I was watching it today and their names came up, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. I had no idea until I watched the credits this time. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, you're telling me the people behind Beverly Hills Cop and Top Gun and Bad Boys gave me The Ref on top of that? Like, wow.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, like, when you take a look at the dialogue and even the way they portray the cops in the movie, it makes perfect sense.
As I, the town authorities.
So this movie starts out, we meet Gus, Dennis Leary's character, who's breaking into a house, and he's a jewel thief, and he gets sprayed with some cat piss as he opens up the safe, and then he takes the wrong jewel that's booby trapped, and he falls into the basement where he's attacked by the dog and then has to get away. Meanwhile, like, it cuts in between that scene and then the scene of Judy Davis and Kevin Spacey's characters, Caroline and Lloyd, at their therapist, Dr. Wong, who's played by B.D. Wong.
Yes, amazing actor.
So good. Yes. I want more of him, but he did a great job as a family therapist. And you can see in that, like, the couple is in therapy, Caroline and Lloyd, and they're talking at each other, not to each other, and not really hearing what the other person is saying and complaining about every little thing that the other person does. You can tell that the relationship, the marriage, is really, they shouldn't be together. They should probably be divorced. And it's not clear why they're staying together.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the first whiff of their back and forth. The audience is kind of in this place where we think that they should not be together. I mean, they're like venomous, just kind of just spurting venom at each other at this point in their marriage. They're like, they don't care. Like, you know, they bring up all of their shortcomings and the parents, the mom, you know, Kevin Spacey's a mama's boy and, you know, all that. It's just like, just bringing out all the stuff they don't like about each other and they want a divorce.
And so they leave therapy and go to drive home because they have a Christmas Eve family dinner that's happening. And on their way home, they basically get carjacked by Gus, Dennis Leary, as he is trying to run away from the cops and meet up with his partner, who was in driving the getaway car that left the scene of the crime because he was worried about the cops coming. And that's his partner is played by Richard Bright Murray. And so now begins the whole Dennis Leary playing the ref between Caroline and Lloyd, and all of the fighting going on between the two of them.
Right. And then we have all this going on. We cut away to their son who's in military school. And he have kind of like this blackmail racket going on with the head general of the military school. I forgot what's the technical name for it. Let's say the principal.
let's go with principal. Yes.
So there's like incriminating pictures.
Their son Jesse has taken a bunch of inappropriate photos of the principal and a mistress, and he's been blackmailing him. He's made about $11,000 blackmailing the principal of the school. And wants to run away from the family because he can't deal with his parents or military school anymore.
Yeah. And so now Gus have to, you know, hold down the fort, lay low, wait for his friend to call because his friend with the getaway is supposed to get a boat. So, you know, they can get away. But he have to hear back from the friend when he commandeers the boat. He's going to call Gus, and Gus can get the hell out the house that's filled with, you know, these two arguing. And it's almost to the point where they don't realize that Gus exists in the room because they're so down each other's throats that they just have to literally put a gun in their faces and hi, I'm the one with the gun. You know, like, shut up, everybody, you know, kind of thing. So he has zero control of, the situation.
Yeah, I mean, basically, imagine any couple you may have seen fighting in public, that the rest of the world falls away from them, and they don't even notice that they're making other people uncomfortable or other people eavesdropping. And even though they're in a hostage situation, they're so focused on their fight that they could give a F about the criminal holding them hostage.
Exactly. And, you know, and potentially being shot by said criminal. Yeah. And through all of the back and forth, Gus sometimes couldn't help himself. And he like a ref, you kind of give a call. Like, he's like, okay, well, you know, like Caroline, you know, you were kind of like shitty in that situation. Or like Gus, like, you know, you're, you know, why did you do that kind of thing? Yeah. So he ended up being at the door. Sign.
Huh? You know, you saw the stop sign, Lloyd. You were lying about that, weren't you?
Exactly. So, like, you know, no one's truthful. Everyone want to maintain a lie in order to, like, be the best looking person out of the fight. And, you know, and Gus character, who is just trying to get away from everyone, but it's everything is just piling up. And, come to find out, the son comes home and he had to figure out what to do with the son. So now I had to tie up. Now three people have to be tied up. And on top of that, that's, is that Caroline's sister's family, or is it?
No, it is. It's his brother's family.
Okay, right. His brother's family, right. Yeah. And his mother's, yeah, along with his mom. Through the argument, the constant arguments between the two, we find out that what's his name?
Lloyd.
Yeah, Lloyd. Yeah. But I found out, you know, Lloyd's mother, you know, gave them money, you know, for a home and kind of like startups, things like that. And she tax on ridiculous interest. They're still paying her off
Right, it was something like 18% interest. that's not like family friendly interest. That's criminal.
Yeah, that's like used car shark.
Yeah.
type stuff. Yeah, and so they remained in her debt, and that's how the mother wanted to keep it. So that way she maintained some control over the marriage in her own way. And she never liked Caroline, or
I know. Yeah, I think, you know, Floyd is her firstborn son. He's a mama's boy. And when he married his wife, she lost him to his wife. And so by having them owe money to her, she has control of her son and can push out the wife. It's a very toxic mother-son relationship.
Yeah, exactly. The last act, you see everything coming to a head because everyone is finally under the same roof doing this. Was it a Scandinavian dinner? We had candles on the candle crown.
Right. And it was absolutely Scandinavian because they also had, I think it was 8-day-old fish, which is a real food that you can have. I don't know if they like wait till the fish is completely rotten and then they eat it, which just to me sounds
horrible.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Why would you want to do that to yourself? Yeah. You know what? When they have the candle crown, though, I was like, should I segue this movie into Midsommar?
Right? Oh.
The whole like crown and the candles and the flowers. And I'm like, like this is like some Midsommar type shit.
Which is also Scandinavian, so
yeah.
Makes sense.
Yep, there you go. And then on top of that, the town have checkpoints because the thief, which is Dennis Leary, Gus, they're looking for him. So they're going like door to door. They're, trying to, intercept him because I think they came to the conclusion that he haven't left. Like he's still like in the area. So now they're looking for him.
So basically, like the story takes place in Connecticut, and you have the very wealthy people that are forcing the sheriff to put up the roadblocks and search all of the houses for the thief that is Gus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And through all of this, like on a family front, the blackmailing son is really captured by a Gus way of living, the thief. Let me go with you. Let me get out of here. And then Gus lays into him of like, you know how good you have it. People love you. You have a home. You don't have to do this because
finish it away.
Exactly. You're not on hard times. Like why you want to run and be a thief for? It's like you have everything you need and then some. In a way, Dennis Leary gives his tough wisdom, to some of the family members in his own way, only because it's not because he cares. It's just because he's tired. He gets frustrated on just hearing these people bitch about things that they don't need to bitch about. Coming from a thief who have to steal to get something, and they're complaining a lot more than the thief, this and that.
Yeah, and I feel like Gus allows the family to air out all their grievances in a safe way because they can always use the "I was scared for my life" type of excuse, but. Like having him there and calling them out on their bullshit that the therapist wasn't doing allows them to really come to terms with all the issues that are going on, not just between Lloyd and Caroline, but also between him and his mother And then ironically, his brother and sister-in-law also get to come to terms with maybe some of the issues that they're having also because of the mom. Like, that just needs to go away. That family, everyone would be so much healthier without that mother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then they found out, you know, mom's the problem. Mom is the queen bee that's keeping the splintering of a healthy relationship, you know, going within the family. And they all joined forces and kind of checked the mom and let them know, like, hey, you know, you've been horrible. Like, you know, we're not going to take it anymore. Kind of like the uprising against the tyrannical member of the family.
Yep. Ultimately, Gus gets away. The son, Jesse, I assume he goes back to the family. We never really see that.
Yeah.
And it implies at the end that Lloyd and Caroline have sort of made up in their own way, recognizing that mom was the toxic element in their relationship.
Yes. So did you know when this movie was released in the UK, the title of it was called Hostile Hostages? That's pretty funny, though. If they named it here, I would have been cool with that.
Well, and so our Tuesday movie, the title was a play on It's a Beautiful Life. And this movie actually has that movie play, or It's a Wonderful Life. Sorry, It's a Wonderful Life. There's a scene where It's a Wonderful Life is playing at the sheriff's station in the background. So both our Tuesday and Thursday reviews honor It's a Wonderful Life in their own little way.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, they'll have their charm, you know. Plus this movie have a lot of good, like, stingers, especially like people that's arguing against each other. For instance, Lloyd says this line, I suppose you use this drama as a reason to have another affair. I feel sorry for the next delivery man that comes to this house.
Yeah, and also, like, Lloyd, when he's getting into his, like, going after his mom, he's like, well, next Christmas, we'll get you a wooden cross. You can nail yourself up there and really show how much of a martyr you're being.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, it was a really punchy dialogue in this movie. Yeah. Plus you had Dennis Leary still in his prime, you know. He was, you know, he's still doing his stand-ups, and he was, you know, doing some MTV stuff back, you know, around in the mid-90s. So, yeah, you know, Dennis was still doing his thing. So I guess this is the reason why they picked him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how much he ad-libs in the movie, but it definitely feels like the part was written for him.
Totally. Especially for him. Oh, hilarious. Yeah. So what's the holiday?
Holiday rating is drinking some spiked eggnog by the fire, putting on your shoes, getting ready to go shovel the snow, or going outside and being taken down by, why can't I ever remember his name?
Krampus,
thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm chilling. This one, I'm definitely chilling. I'm on a couch. I got my spice eggnog.
It's only 90 minutes long. It's a quick movie.
Yeah, and again, it's an adult one. It's not for kids. It's not for kids. It's not a kid.
Well, okay, it's rated R, but there's no sex or violence in it. It's just all the profanity because there's F-bombs dropped all over the place.
Yeah, because this is a Dennis Leary movie.
So if your kid is used to, like, saying, fuck, yeah, it's not a big deal. Yeah. Go ahead and let them watch this.
Yeah, so in other words, if your kids are so used to you and you and your significant others cursing all the time in the house, just go ahead and watch the movie. It's fine. Like, they were like, if they heard words from you, you know, the parent, then yeah, I guess, you know, just watch the movie. But if you guys are trying to keep their ears sanitized, definitely don't watch Pottersville. No vulgar language in Pottersville. But for the adults, definitely spiky eggnog, put a shot of Jameson in it and just sit back and laugh at all of the hilarious, stingy dialogue in this movie.
Yeah. Although, if you go on IMDb and look at all the quotes, maybe they've... all the good quotes in the movie, none of the good quotes use the F-bomb. Or I would say the majority of them, so... Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, I'm sure there's an edited version out there. Yeah. Something played on USA.
Yeah. Which is weird, because they don't really play this. They don't really show this a lot. Even on, like you say, even on, like, USA or FX or TNT, like, they don't really show this movie.
But good.
Yeah, it goes like under the radar, this one. I mean, no one even really talk about this movie, which is sad.
So both of us have sitting on the sofa watching this.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, have a couple of Spice Girls, because you gotta laugh. This is gonna be funny. Yeah, it's a funny one by Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer. Well, rest in peace, Don Simpson.
And the director is Ted Demme.
Yep.
Who has done a few big movies. He did, or in my mind, big movies. He did Blow, Beautiful Girls, Life.
Yeah, and people, and for people who hear Demme, and we're not mentioning like Silence of the Lambs or anything like that, that's because his uncle is Jonathan Demme. He's the Silence of the Lambs director that, you know, because people are like, oh, Demme. I'm like, no, not that Demme. Jonathan Demme. Yeah, that's a prestigious one. You know, yeah, it's Ted Demme, you know, did the funny stuff like the ref, and well, Blow wasn't funny, but it was drama. But yeah, you know, so but they're in the same family, the Demmes.
Yep. Natalie Portman Beautiful Girls gave us Natalie Portman after, like, that. I feel like that was her big movie after she did the what was it, The Assassin?
The Professional.
The Professional. Yeah.
So this is like her second. Because, I mean, Professional, what was she, like 14 or something? I mean, she was, or 12 or something like that. She was young as crap in Professional.
Yeah, she was a baby.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for Luc Besson to do a follow-up of her character in a Professional. Like, she's a, make Matilda an assassin like Leon. You know, because Leon taught her, right? Leon was like showing her how to, you know, do stuff.
But, and cast Natalie Portman as that character. Yes, we need that movie.
Yes, we do. Yes. Anyway, that's just me. And plus, I we could always use more Natalie Portman. That's fine. Yeah, guys. So there you have it. The Ref. Check it out if you haven't. If it went over your head, or it one of those movies in the 90s where you kind of knew of it, but it just disappeared into obscurity. Definitely dig it up. I think you can rent it. I don't think it's streaming anywhere.
It's on. I mean, you can rent it on Amazon, but it is not streaming anywhere because I did search.
Yeah. But yeah, but definitely check it out. Funny stuff. And we have some new stuff lined up for you next week. Until then, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
stay in. And if you leave the house, wear a mask.
Yes. Peace.